Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, and we are here with Jen Cruz and Jenna Grover, the She Squashers, tonight on Paranormal Truth and Reality and BBS Radio. Welcome, girls.
Hey there.
Thank you for having us. Hello.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a pleasure. So generally, we just start out the show here asking some basic questions. And what I like to ask a lot of people that are looking for Bigfoot or cryptoids in general is, what got you started?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm Jen Cruz, and I'm the leader of She Squatchers, and Jenna is my number two. We're always Jen the same but different, but actually, I was doing a paranormal radio show for a few years, and I scored amazing interview with Lauren Coleman, cryptozoologist. He has the Bigfoot Museum in Maine, and as I was interviewing him, I didn't really believe in Bigfoot. I didn't know a lot about Bigfoot, but everything he was saying to me was so passionate and so interesting that I got interested in Bigfoot. And he had this amazing idea that he thought the recipe for success in Bigfooting was to send women into the woods without men, dogs, or guns. And he thought that's when you'd get some real good Bigfoot action. So I jokingly said, "Hey there, big boy," and volunteered jokingly at first. But by the end of the interview, I honestly and for real volunteered to do that. And that's how She Squatchers began. And we've been having a good time doing that ever since. And like I said, I didn't believe in Bigfoot when we first started out, but I grew up in the woods in northern Minnesota, and I had never seen anything or heard anything to make me suspect that there would be Bigfoot in there, but I was wrong. I quickly found that out. I was wrong. There is Bigfoot out there.
Northern Minnesota's got a lot of wooded areas, so I spent 5 years in the Wisconsin-Minnesota area, and of course, we did a lot of research in the Black Lick area and Black River Falls, places like that, for werewolves more than Bigfoot when we were out there. But I mean, there's a lot with the wooded area. You run into all kinds of things. it's an amazing situation. Now, when you girls go out, do you do what a lot of people see on television when you're hunting for Bigfoot? Do you do the knocks and calls and all of that, or do you have your own unique style?
Well, to be honest, we do kind of do our own thing, because even though we liked Lauren's idea about women in the woods without men, dogs, or guns, I've been working as a psychic medium, a missing person psychic, and a remote viewer for a long time, and I'm really accurate at the remote viewing. So my immediate idea on the sidetrack was, can we use our psychic abilities to find Bigfoot before we ever get to the woods? And so that's kind of been, we have our own way of looking, and each time we go out is kind of a new experiment to see what would happen if we did this or what would happen if we did that. And it's been a really fun, challenging adventure. It's just been probably the most fun I've ever had.
I'd love to pick your brain on remote viewing. I've had the privilege of talking behind the scenes to some of the more well-known people that have been in remote viewing from time to time. I think it's fascinating, but I haven't really had a chance to dive into the real research and operation of it. So one of these days, don't be surprised if I hit you up on Facebook and say, "Hey, give me a call. I want to pick your brain."
Awesome. That sounds great.
Jen has got the best brain to pick, so you pick away. She's amazing. She's amazing.
Well, I know that a lot of people have different aspects of cryptoid hunting and Bigfoot hunting. Of course, my first experience, believe it or not, was quite recent, within a year and a half, by talking to cryptozoologists around the area. One of the more experienced ones, believe it or not, here in Ohio, was a young gentleman named Colin Schneider, and he's 18 now, believe it or not, and started actually studying into cryptoids when he was 9, 10 years old. And has now had the privilege of going to many, many conferences and spending time with a lot of the big people and so forth. And boy, he talks way over my head. So don't be surprised from time to time if you guys are going to talk over my head tonight too. One thing that I found fascinating is it's kind of a different environment compared to the regular paranormal environment, I guess you could say. And I'm sure you could probably relate a little bit starting as a psychic medium and working in criminal cases. When we're in the paranormal, it's kind of a different feel and a different flow than when you're out in the woods and you actually have the urban consideration and the outside around you and so forth. I spend a lot of my time in haunted locations and doing research and setting up the next scientific project, and it's a lot different.
Oh, definitely. I actually did remote viewing for a paranormal team for a few years. And so they would give me the GPS coordinates or the address before they would even go there and do a walkthrough on a location where somebody was requesting assistance because their home or business was haunted or having some paranormal activity that they wanted them to come and check out. So they would give me this information and I would start to look at it. And what I was doing, I call geographic remote viewing because it's not the same as controlled remote viewing, where you don't know what your target is. Here I'm looking at satellite imagery and I'm asking questions, and what I see in the screen changes in reaction to my question. So not necessarily that other people would see what I'm seeing, but this is how I gain access to the information. And so that's how I started doing the remote viewing and honing that skill. And I found out that I'm extremely accurate. So it's been fun for us to bring that over to Bigfooting and scanning the woods through satellite imagery, asking, where's Bigfoot? Is there Bigfoot evidence here? Show me where it's at. So that's been fun.
Evidence, I mean, have you guys stumbled across so far? The one thing that I've ran into a lot of times is, and speaking with a lot of them, is you have the standard evidence, you know, footprints, they test dung, you hear some calls and so forth. But I'm fascinated with hearing the evidence when it comes to cryptids of any type and seeing the differences between each investigator when they're out there.
We found various different things on our very first time out. Unfortunately, Jenna wasn't with me yet as she came. She joined the team right after that, after she's been my friend for many years. And when I told her about this trip, she's like, oh, I want on the team. So but she's been with me ever since. But the very first time we went to a location that we knew that there had been a Bigfoot sighting nearby, finding Bigfoot had even come in to check it out really quickly after it had happened. And we went in and we didn't know exactly where it happened, just we knew it happened on this lake near a boat launch. And the only boat launch that was listed on this lake was on the other side of the lake than what I thought the Bigfoot sighting should have been at. So during the day, we drove around the entire lake, and I was just trying to sense if I could sense anything Bigfooty. This was our first time. Didn't really expect much to happen. And I started to feel this really unique energy in this one particular location. And even though we didn't find any footprints or anything there during the day, I said, we definitely need to come back to this place tonight and after dark. So we continued looking around, and shockingly enough, around the corner and down maybe a few miles, we found some footprints. And we all walked right past them, and something Ted told me to turn around and look back. And when I looked back, you could see this whole trail of footprints that was there that you couldn't see looking the other way. You couldn't even see them. So, I mean, it was really, really fascinating. I was shocked to find anything. Again, I didn't really believe in Bigfoot at that time. And here we found footprints that were not castable because they weren't deep enough, but they were definitely defined, and the stride was longer and than anything we could have ever done. Huh. And I'm about 5'10" and the tallest person on our team, and I was doing running leaps next to these things and couldn't even come close to the distance between the steps. So later that night, then we returned to that spot where the energy had felt so interesting to me. And upon getting out of the car, it was so dark, we couldn't see anything. And one of my teammates had brought along a FLIR camera, which is a thermal camera that sees, you know, body temperatures in opposition to the cold things around it. And she had borrowed this and didn't really know much about it. She just knew if you clicked this button, it would take a picture. So she handed it to me, and everybody else went to the back of the vehicle to get their stuff. I already had my stuff. So I started to scan the woods. And as I got continued scanning, I finally got to the area on the road in front of the car. And again, I can't see anything because it's pitch black out there. And here's this humanoid shape showing up as a body temperature standing, you know, about 30 feet in front of the vehicle. And I said, who's in front of the car? Thinking one of my teammates had walked up there. And nobody answered. So I asked again, who's in front of the car? And nobody answered. And I kept asking that question with more anxiety in my voice. And one of our teammates, Marlo, she noticed that I was feeling distressed about something. And she ran up to the front and she's like, what's going on? And she looked to see where I was pointing the camera at. And she looked that direction. She said, oh, I just saw eyes. And so I looked up to see if I could see eyes. And when I looked back down, I could no longer find it. It was gone, and I scanned all around. And this is just upon getting out of the car at that interesting location. So then everybody's got their gear, and we start, we kind of split into three on one side and two on the other, and we started to, like, step into the woods. And there was three in my little group, and we just took a few steps into the woods, and all of a sudden here comes these rocks. You can hear them coming down through the branches of the trees above us, and they're hitting the ground, and we're watching them bounce on the ground in front of us. And they're tiny rocks, maybe 50-cent piece or a silver dollar size. And multiple rocks came down, and they were falling and bouncing right in front of us. And I was in shock. I mean, at that point in time, I didn't even know Bigfoot was known for throwing rocks at people. I just knew that this has never happened before in northern Minnesota. I grew up in northern Minnesota. I've been in the woods all my life, and nothing has ever thrown rocks at me before. And all of a sudden, this is happening. I mean, it was so instantaneous that it was crazy. And I kind of opened my awareness to see, what does this mean? And I got the feeling like, don't walk this way. But yet it was still kind of playful. And so I was like, okay, we're not going to walk that way. So we kind of went over to meet up with our team, who was then standing in front of the vehicle up the road a little bit. And now we're all together, the five of us, and we start to hear, one of our teammates did a whoop. She did a Bigfoot call. And we start to hear something walking towards us in the woods. And it's bipedal. It's definitely 2 feet walking one in front of the other, but it's big. You can tell that it's big. You can hear that it's a big thing. And it's cracking sticks as it's walking. And, you know, we all had cameras. We had night vision cameras, infrared cameras. We had the thermal camera, the FLIR. We had all kinds of equipment that could see in the dark. And so now we're all pointing it at the sound, and none of us can see it. We can't see anything there. And these trees are tall trees. It's a, you know, dense forest. But, you know, Minnesota was pretty much logged. Most of the state was logged in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So all the tree growth there is, you know, about 100 years old and maybe a little bit older. So it's not really wide trees. Nothing wide enough that something of a size could continue moving towards you and stay hidden behind trees. So the fact that we couldn't see anything, nothing on the thermal, nothing on the night vision, really dumbfounded me. Everybody's looking at me like, what should we do? And I just kept saying, I really thought we should be able to see it. I thought we should be able to see it. And it's still coming closer. And so finally, we had these super duper flashlights, and it's kind of a big no-no to turn on your flashlights in the woods as a Bigfoot hunter. Other people would probably frown upon that. But here's me thinking, we need to see what that is. So we lit it up and still couldn't see anything there, and still it's moving towards us. And it was really kind of a creepy feeling, because there's obviously something there and we can't see it. And why can't we see it if it's a flesh and blood creature? And so we didn't really know what to do at that point. And then all of a sudden it was like it multiplied, and there was something walking towards us from multiple directions. And we hadn't talked about what we should do if we were in trouble or if we felt like we were in trouble, but we automatically circled up back with our backs to each other facing outward. So now all of us are standing there in a circle looking outward, and none of us can see anything coming, but we can definitely hear it. And at that point in time, one of my teammates yelled out, "Jennifer, do your tobacco offering." And we were on an Ojibwe Indian reservation at the time, and I am part Ojibwe. I do speak some of the language. And so I took a tobacco out of my pocket, which is the way that they pray, and I started to pray out loud in the Ojibwe language. And as soon as I called out to Memegwe Shik, which is the little people, and I called out to Bigfoot, which in the language is Gichi Sabe. And as soon as I said Miigwech Gichi Sabe, which is basically thank you, Bigfoot, all of the sounds stopped. It didn't walk away. It didn't come closer. It just stopped. And it just seemed like everything was different. And at that point, one of my teammates says, "All right, maybe we should go check out where we found those Bigfoot prints earlier today." And I said, "Yeah, that sounds good." And we got in the car and we drove away because we didn't know what else to do. We were kind of, you know, some of my teammates were extremely terrified at that point. I was weirded out. I'm going to say that honestly, I was really weirded out, but I wasn't scared. I just didn't know what was happening here. I couldn't put my mind around it at the time. You know, I really thought we should have been able to see it. And the fact that it immediately reacted to my prayer tells me that there's something more to this creature than what I had thought.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, including myself, for a long period of time, even though I've had the privilege of reading and studying a lot of Indian legends and other legends across the world, think of Bigfoot as a physical creature similar to us. So you would think that you can see it and hear it and the whole nine yards. But a lot of people don't dig deeper to find out what if it's a little bit more than that, a little bit deeper, a little bit more of something that you can't comprehend on the physical level currently that's been attached to everything for many, many years. It's interesting that you talked about the prayer a little bit, because that links into a lot of other things that you run into the same situation with outside of Bigfoot. Some of these things are older than we can possibly imagine. And granted, we use science and physics to try to understand everything, but sometimes things go beyond that. Maybe it's because they're living in a different realm of physical nature, a different dimension, or maybe they've been amongst us the whole time and we only see them once we choose to, once they let us, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. It absolutely does. But I tell you what, after that, I was hooked. I was definitely hooked after that.
Well, that would be a fascinating experience, definitely. I mean, I told you girls earlier, I haven't had the privilege of actually physically going out to hunt for Bigfoot, even though I've done some research on a few of the more famous cryptids, the Black River situation, the Mothman, because I'm here in Ohio, so you can't really not research the Mothman somewhere along the line. And of course, I have had Bigfoot experiences being from Ohio because, well, you can't not have a Bigfoot or a UFO experience if you're from Ohio.
Funny. What part of Ohio are you in, Chris?
I'm actually in the central Ohio area. I grew up in a very small town called Marengo, Ohio, that's not too far from Centerbrook, so it's right in the center of everything. And we've had a number of Bigfoot and UFO sightings out here for many, many years. In fact, I didn't learn this until a lot later when I started to dig into research on everything, but there was one scientist, and I can't remember his name, that talked about how sometimes in the more rural areas like Ohio or flat grounds or so forth, Bigfoots will build structures, and they use a lot of complex leaves and trees and so forth, and they twist it kind of into a dome area. And believe it or not, I played in one of those for years in the middle of the day that was back way back in the back of our woods, and thought, somebody took the time to put this together, never put two and two together on it. And when I was 16, because our house was right at the edge of a bunch of fields and woods, my mom had an experience, and I think I've told the listeners this before, but we heard this loud thump on the side of our house. Now, my neighbor had been out there rooting around in the woods for hours as a hunter, and it's the first time anybody had ever hunted those woods. He got permission from the farmer. And shortly after this happens, and we look outside the house, and my dad was chopping trees down for the winter. And these logs, keep in mind, these logs are at least 15 to 20 pounds a piece, everybody, just started flying all the way out to the road, which is a good half an acre. So a human being just can't toss that. And we heard some weird noises. I can't really explain them. They were noises that didn't sound like a bear or anything. Of course, we don't have very many bears here in Ohio anyway. But she decided, my mom was freaking out at that point, didn't want us to go outside, called the police officer, called the game warden. Of course, we stayed inside the whole time till they got there. Now, here's the ironic situation. And this actually hit the papers out here as a little comment. The sheriff and the game warden go back there, and there are trees that are mid-sized trees that look like they've been broken down. There are two separate paths that look like something very large that couldn't have been a human because they were separated. It beat down a little path walking all the way down into the woods till you couldn't see it anymore. So the game warden goes back there, and he comes back and says, okay, I don't see anything. And the sheriff goes, huh, well, that's just another Bigfoot sighting.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I actually got the opportunity to go Bigfooting in Ohio this past March in Adams County. Ah. I'm not sure if that's close to the area that you're talking about or not. But I got to go out with the Ohio Night Stalkers. They're a Bigfoot research group out there in Ohio. And they took me to their hotspot area. And it was really an interesting thing to see because I really was familiar with the story of what had happened to them in that area. And I was so excited to see the place for myself. And because it was in March and the foliage was still down off the trees, I was able to see across the ravines that they hadn't really seen across before. And I started to zoom in on an area that when we were there, and I said, look, there's caves right there. I bet you that's where they live. And they're like, you're kidding. And so sure enough, we've identified, I think, where they were coming from.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really neat. Yeah, Ohio's a unique place. We have a lot of Bigfoot sightings. We have a lot of UFO sightings, obviously being down from Wright Pat and a couple of test facilities with the military on the other side of Mansfield. And we have a lot of ghosts that, this whole state is riddled with an amazing history people don't know about. I've been putting together a documentary and decided to just cover Ohio for a while because there's so many things out here. It's amazing. A lot of things I didn't even know about, and I've been here for 30 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's wonderful. Well, listeners, you're listening to the She Squatchers, which is Jen Cruz and her partner, which is Jennifer Grover. You're listening to BBS Radio. Just so everybody knows, BBS Radio is the largest digital radio station in the United States of America. So I do encourage you, if you're going to go with the best, go with BBS. Donald and his brother will take very, very good care of you. A little bit of an announcement on the side. Generation Truth, as well as Team Rat, will be going for a personal investigation as well to tour the town and do some videoing for Bryan, Ohio. Bryan, Ohio is one of the newest haunted locations on the market. It's getting a lot of fame right now. A lot of people are going there for investigations because it consists currently of 6 buildings, 9 to be on the roster before next year, that are all claimed to be haunted. So stay tuned for the results. We're going to tell you a little bit about Bryan, Ohio, and we're going to put a little piece together in my new show that I'm proud to announce tonight called Haunted Excursions, which is going to be a part of the Generation Truth lineup in 2020 through 2023. We're planning on putting that on several locations, and we're also going to be bringing it to the Paracons to cover all of the neat little excursions across virtually every state. So make sure that you tune in for that. We're just going to jump back into everything. Guys, I know that we've talked about quite a lot here, but I'd like to get into what you want to talk about more than anything else. I've been asking you a lot of questions, but I'm sure you've got a lot of experiences and a lot of things that are just right on the tip of your head that's, hey, you know, if I'm on a show, I'd like to talk about it.
Oh, sure. Exactly. Well, I know that you were asking about the different types of things that we have found, and that was just my very first experience. Then after Jenna came on the team, it started getting even more interesting. Now, if you remember, I said I had identified a specific energy feeling at that location that I wanted to check out after dark, and there was something there. So at that moment is when I kind of learned that there's an energy frequency to this that I had identified. So when I was out on a scouting mission with Jenna and Nikki, one of our teammates, on a different Indian reservation in northern Minnesota, we had checked out a certain area, and we decided to go up the road maybe about 25 miles to a different spot, which I'd never been to. And Nikki was driving, and I like to be able to have somebody else drive so I can open my awareness fully and really just sense what's going on around me. I don't really feel like it's safe for me to do that while I'm driving. So here we are, we're driving up the road, and we weren't actually very far from where we had just come from. And she's driving about 55 miles an hour, and all of a sudden I felt that familiar energy again, and I pulled to the right and looked, and I was like, there's something in those trees back there. And I screamed, you know, stop the car, turn around, go back. We need to get back in that woods right there. There's something back there. I felt it. And so Nikki turns the car around. We didn't even know if we could get back there, but we did find a place to turn in. And back behind the trees there was a gravel pit that we didn't even know was there. And we pull into the gravel pit, and plain as day, you can see these big footprints going up this really steep hill of gravel. And they were huge footprints. And this hill was so steep that none of our teammates could climb up it on their feet alone. They were climbing up on all fours and sliding back down because it was that steep. And the footprints were 18 inches was the smallest one, and the biggest footprint was 24 inches of this trackway, but we think it was sliding a little bit, giving a little bit bigger print there. And it went all the way to the top. Now, we've shown this evidence to tons of different Bigfoot researchers, including the people from Finding Bigfoot on TV. And James Bobo Fay from Finding Bigfoot, after asking a lot of questions and seeing the angle of this hill, he said, that's too steep. That couldn't have been a human. It couldn't have been a bear. That had to be a Squatch, because it did not put its hands down. This thing walked up with ease, with space between its feet. And if you could see how any of our teammates tried to get up that hill next to this, they kept sliding back down, and they were on all fours. They couldn't do it.
Oh, it was embarrassing, I'll tell you that much.
Jenna, you did good. You got up there, though.
I did. But man, it was hard. Just like she said, with every step we took, we probably sunk half of the step we took. So it was just, it was almost traumatic getting up there. I'm being over dramatized, but.
Well, I think that she's probably right about that, though, because I didn't make it to the top of the hill myself. So kudos to Jenna for making it to the top of the hill, and also to our teammate Nikki, who also did. So we actually were able to cast some of those tracks, but this was the very first time we were trying to make a cast of a footprint, and being in a gravel pit, that was even more difficult. It brought it up many more notches in the difficulty level on a steep, steep hill. And it didn't really turn out very good. And since then, we've gotten some pointers from others who've given us the pointers on how to maybe collect a better print out of a gravel pit. They suggested, you know, spraying it with a heavy hairspray and then putting Saran wrap in it before you pour anything in there, so that it might hold its shape better and not get full of gravel.
So, I bet that's an incredible task, though. I mean, with all of the elements around you, it's got to be really hard to keep the shape alone, to be able to say, look, I've got something that here's the toes, here's the foot structure, because it's just hard to do. The mud, the gravel, the dirt, you've got all kinds of different elements that can mess it up before you can even get to it.
Exactly. But it was so funny, because when we ended up trying to cast this, we didn't try to cast it until the next day because we were losing light. And I thought, you know, we're not going to be able to get really good pictures of this in this light. So I think it would be better if we come back tomorrow, and instead of trying to climb up it and possibly ruining this in the dark, let's come back in the light in the morning. And it ended up taking us all day to get this thing cast. And in the end, we realized that we don't have all the equipment we need to retrieve the cast down from the middle of that hill. And so Jenna and I stayed at the location while the others drove away, went to go get more supplies so that we could retrieve the cast that we had poured there. And here now the sun's going down and Jenna and I are sitting there by ourselves without a vehicle. And we know we're going to be there for probably 45 minutes by ourselves. And the sun's going down. And I thought, you know, Bigfoot walked right through here yesterday. and here we are by ourselves with no cover. And then I thought, this probably might not be a great idea. Jenna wasn't scared at all. She had a bag of snacks right there and she was munching away. And I said, you know, Jenna, if there's a bear or anything comes near us, you need to throw that bag far away from you.
Okay. And I do have to chime in here. It is definitely a learning experience, you know, because the more we do, the more we find out what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. And the more we find, the more questions we have. So I'm learning, Jen. I'm learning quickly. No more snacks.
She's like, do you want a snack, Jen? And I'm like, nope, I don't want to be bear bait. Thanks.
Well, if it helps, I can attest for the fact that the paranormal in general is a learning experience. I'll tell you, I've been doing this for 23 years, and every time I go out on a location, I sit there and wonder if I've learned anything at all, because I learned something new or I figure out that what I just did 3 times ago is not the way to go.
Right? And it's all different, and every time could be different.
Yeah.
But it's all definitely good.
Yes. And then, part of the fun. When we started to try to do the remote viewing and to see if we could find Bigfoot before we got to the place, like if I could nail down a spot where I'm seeing Bigfoot and then just show up really fast, like, surprise, we're here. This was what I was hoping for. And so I spent some time. We had received a report from some elders and at the reservation, because I was working up for the reservation on a contract, working with some women with the Sexual Assault Advocacy Coalition. And the last day that I was there on the contract, some elders came to have breakfast with me. And they said, you know, Jen, we heard you're looking for Bigfoot. And I said, I am. Do you have any stories for us? And he, you know, I was thinking maybe he'd tell me some traditional stories about Bigfoot, with, you know, cultural Bigfoot stories. And to my surprise, he told me that his grandkids had found something in the woods behind his house. And him and his wife were both really freaked out about it. They were both there having breakfast with me. And these are people that I know really, really well. They're elders in the community. They're respected people there. And they're really serious people. And here they were looking very scared about what they were telling me. And they said that their 9-year-old grandchildren, they were girls, were out playing in the woods behind their house, and they found something back there. And they came back and told their grandparents all about this really cool fort that they found. And they were really, really excited about this really cool fort. And the way they were describing it to him, he's like, you know, I want you to take me back there and show me what you're talking about. So the girls took him back there, and he said, and you wouldn't believe it, something pulled 2 trees out of the ground, roots and all, turned them upside down and teepeed them together with the roots in the air. And they were big trees. He said, you walk right underneath them. And he just keep going back in the woods further and further off of this. It's a little trail that he had made through the woods back there to go collect firewood. This isn't an area that is logged by loggers. This was his backwoods that he made that trail to go driving through to collect wood to heating his house. And he says, you go back past this where the trees are flipped upside down and teepeed together, and you keep going until you find this hogan structure. And I said, well, okay, what does this hogan structure look like? And he says, well, it kind of looks like a wigwam, which is like a dome structure made out of trees, for those who don't know what that is. But he says it's weaved together. It's not tied together. It's just very, very well built, like a den-like structure made out of trees that are weaved together. And he said it was quite large and there was like a doorway. There wasn't a door, but there was a doorway. And he says you walk into it and then there's this big area that were for some things could lay down, some very large things could lay down. And at the back of it, there was a hole in the ground. And his grandkids were really excited about that when they initially found it. So they went down there and it's like a cave tunnel system down there. And when he found out and saw that hole in the ground that his grandkids had gone down into before he had been back there, he was simply horrified, horrified. And he said, even if whatever built that doesn't live there anymore, even if it's not there anymore, I don't know if it is or not, but if even if it's not there, something else could have moved into that. And his grandkids went down in there.
Yeah.
And he felt like they could have died. They almost lost their grandkids that day. And so I said, well, I would really like to see this. Could you show this to me? And he's like, I don't want to go back there. He didn't want to go back there at all. He is scared of it. And he told his grandkids that if they ever see anything remotely like that again, they're to stay far away from it and to tell him right away.
I will, if you guys are ever back into Ohio, give me a shout. I'll take you up to a structure. There's a structure back behind my house, my old house, about 3.5 to 4.5 miles out that's exactly that. It's a fully weaved, 100% large dome. It's got a little hole in the front of it that looks like a door. It looks like you could bend down and crawl into it, but it's still quite large. And we played, like I said, I played in that all the time. It's out right remotely out in the middle of nowhere. Down, you got to go down a ledge, and then there's this little flat area with trees all around, and it's just nicely weaved all the way around it.
Boy, I would love to get in that one.
Oh, and that's what Jenna does. Jenna goes inside everything we find. When we find a structure, Jenna goes inside.
Oh,
that's
no.
What she does. Hashtag Jenna goes inside.
Explain that. It sounds much worse than what it was. I should have never said anything, Jen.
Well, I started taking pictures of, I remote viewed that whole area of where the elders were telling me about this, just to see if I could find anything else back there other than what they were reporting to me. And actually in the remote view, I found an area that was showing me an aggressive male Bigfoot area that I felt kind of scared of, but I marked it on the map. And then I was asking if there was anything like Bigfoot evidence in the area that we could collect. And this whole area about 200 feet away from that area that showed up as an aggressive male Bigfoot area, about 200 feet away from that was lighting up a golden light color on my map in response to me asking if there was any Bigfoot evidence we could collect nearby. And so I marked that. And between those two places, there looked to be a trail from the satellite imagery. And I wasn't sure if this was a drivable trail or not. I'd never been back there before. So when we went there in person, we went and to see, can we drive that? And sure enough, we could. It was one of those logging trails that they had built back there for their personal use and getting their wood to heat their homes. And it was very overgrown, and it was very similar to one of those old car washes where the mops come up over your car, except this is driving through trees that are coming up over your car like those mops did in the car wash. We'd have to stop and move trees off of the road so we could keep driving. And, I have an old vehicle, so, it's nothing anybody with a brand new vehicle would dare to drive down, that's for sure. But, everybody else, when we drive down these things and we record it, people just, I know they're cringing just hearing these trees scraping up against the car. But we were able to drive it. Now, I was all excited to get back there because I knew my accuracy rating with remote viewing was on point. And I come up with some really, really specific, weird things that are always right when we get there. So when I said there's Bigfoot evidence there that we can collect, I knew that there was something there. And Jenna wasn't such a big believer in that.
No, I was so a skeptic. I can't even explain to you. Like, even when we found those footprints, I still was skeptic. I told Jen, I said, I'm going to have to see his face close up to me to make sure that there's no mask marks. And, you know, that's how much of a skeptic I was.
Yep, she was. And you know, she didn't come right out and say that she didn't really believe in remote viewing. But she wasn't as excited as I was when Wasted stopped the car, parked right here.
I do have to interrupt though, Jen. Okay, and I'm going to tell everybody this right now. I definitely believe in Jen. I didn't really believe in remote viewing, just like she said. So, you know, when she said stop the car, I was like, okay, I didn't think it was a big deal. You know, I mean, it was a big deal. I understand that now. But being a skeptic, I'm thinking, well, I don't know how this whole process works. We'll just see. And so, as Jen will explain, I tended to be a little bit slow. And, well, Jen, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, when we first got out of the car, I was ready. And Jenna wasn't ready. So I'm standing there on the edge of the road looking to the right, which is where the scary Bigfoot area was, about 100 feet off the trail to my calculations. And, you know, why was I looking into that area? I don't even know why I was considering going back there, because I was afraid of that. And I knew that that wasn't a good idea, but that's what I was looking at first. And so Jenna was goofing around, getting her stuff together, talking to Nikki.
Hey, now.
And I took a couple steps into the woods, and rocks came down. And now, when rocks came down at me before, it was dark. I couldn't see anything except the rocks, you know, based off the light that we had on our bodies. But this time it was daytime. And now I'm looking around to see what's throwing rocks at me. You know, cause now, you know, maybe I'll be able to see what's throwing them. And I just knew, you know, this is not a good idea to go that way. And just then Nikki said, look at that over there. And she was looking to the left where I had said the Bigfoot evidence was that we could collect. And she started to see something back there. And I was like, oh, duh. Why am I looking towards the aggressive male? Go to the Bigfoot evidence we can collect. That's the smart thing. And so I went around to the other side. And then Jenna's still not ready. And she's still talking to Nikki. Oh,
sorry.
And I'm focusing in to the woods, and I'm starting to see something back there. Not only am I seeing something back there, I'm seeing some things are moving back there. And I'm like, Jenna, come on, right now. And she's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, now. And I was getting really mad.
Yeah, she was really. She was cranky.
I was cranky because now I'm walking to it by myself. And she's still, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, now, Jenna, now.
And when she became like that, I was like, geez, okay. Like I said, I didn't really believe in this process. I did believe in her, though, so.
Yes, and she didn't really understand that I'm seeing something, because I said, I'm seeing something back there. Let's go now. And when I started seeing something moving back there, I wanted to get back there as close as I could get with my camera rolling now. You know, this is what we wanted. And she didn't understand at the time that exactly what was happening. And again, she didn't really think there was going to be anything back there, but there we were 75 feet off of where we parked, directly back where I said it should be. We started to see a tower that was about 2-3 stories tall that was made by these trees that were leaned together. They were leaned together. And there was foliage like weaved between them into levels. And you could see that there was places for something to like climb up in there and sit and look out. It's like a lookout area. And there was what we didn't notice at the time, because we were so focused on this huge structure that we found that was weaved together. And that tower structure was just like an end cap of a long aisle in the store. And we're just seeing the end of it. This thing went on for a really, it was a deep, long structure, like an aisle in Walmart. And and it was all weaved together, and it was a huge den-like structure. And it was so intricately weaved together. And we were so focused on that, we didn't even notice until we started looking at the footage later that we were breaking through a weaved fence to get inside of there, that we didn't even, we were so focused on looking at the structure that we didn't even realize that there was the sticks that we were moving and getting through were actually a weaved fence that was 8 to 10 feet tall. It was just so bizarre of mm-hmm. all the things that we didn't notice at the time until we looked at our footage later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really is a cool experience, though, because not a lot of people get the chance to say that they've ventured that far, so to speak, or seen the unique few things that you've gotten. And that's something I try to express to a lot of new people in the ghost field is I had a gentleman that had his first paranormal experience. He's been with me for over 9 months now, great investigator. And I had to shake his hand at the end of it because he said, "I'm done, man. I got all the evidence. I got the proof I want." I'm like, "It just starts there. Welcome to the paranormal world."
Oh, no. He had no idea. Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, it's really an amazing thing when you finally get a little bit of that feel of, hey, you know, I'm not doing this thinking that I'm never going to get anything anymore. Everything that I believed in has been clarified a little bit. I need to dig further.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Sorry, Jen, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jenna.
I was just going to say it's a never-ending want. You know, you always want to find more. You always want to learn. And there's so many other people that you can learn from and go and look with. You know what I mean? So it's constantly, it's a never-ending learning curve. You know what I mean?
Excuse me. Absolutely.
More like
yeah.
an obsession.
Right? Well, there are a lot of people that are and openly admit that they're obsessed. So, and I say go for it. We need answers. You know what I mean?
Well, that's all a part of the process. No matter what you do, no matter what area or avenue you research, there's always so many open doors. Even when you find the logical solution and people have solved certain puzzles, all that does is open up another puzzle on, okay, fine, you found the answer there, but I still got to figure out why here. And a lot of people get hung up on the, nobody has the answers. And that's not entirely true. We all have answers. We just have to work together because it's a never-ending process. You can always learn something new. And even when one door closes, it just opened 14 more to ask questions about.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Because the more we find out, the more questions I have.
Yep.
And the more I want to know more and the more I want to experience more of that. And the more we find stuff like Jenna can crawl inside of, the more she wants to do that.
It's true. I really do. And I love getting out there and being part of nature. And we really do go out there. We go out there with a thought of we're not out there to destroy. We're out there to enjoy. So we really try hard not to damage anything. You know, in the wooded areas that we are in. Of course, sometimes that happens, you know, sometimes things break, you know, like little branches and things, but, you know, otherwise I kind of did some naughtiness over by the structure. I accidentally broke part of the door. So I don't know. I better not talk anymore about that.
Sorry. Let's take the last couple of minutes of the show here. I know we're winding down to our last 5 minutes before I have to go on to the next host. Let's talk about where the listeners can find you for your adventures and your updates and whether you have any particular things that you want to address as well that's coming up here soon.
Awesome. Well, we have a website. It's shesquatchers.com. And on our website, you can find links to all of our social media. We post most often our updates for the latest and greatest that you can ever want to know about us is going to be on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/shesquatchersofficial. She Squatchers Official is also how you can find our YouTube channel. And I know there's two of them out there. One of them we lost access to. So make sure you're looking for the channel She Squatchers Official because that's where we post our videos and whatnot. We have some up there of the structure that we found. We have a lot more videos to share about that we haven't actually shared yet. But we've got so much more to do and we just keep on gathering more videos. And it's so hard to get through everything and cut it down and put it up, isn't it?
It's a process.
I know it is a process. And definitely video editing and all of that is not our specialty.
Oofta, oofta, oofta.
I always say, hey, if there's any professional video editors out there who want to be part of the She Squatchers, give us a call. We need somebody who knows what they're doing, because
the phones are going to ring. The phones are going to ring, girl.
Yes. We have been traveling and speaking at events this last year. And we're scheduled up into the end of 2019 as well at different Paracon conventions and Bigfoot conferences. And it's so fun to see how many people want to see what we found and hear our stories. And it's just been really fun for us to travel all around this year from coast to coast, sharing the things that we found in northern Minnesota. And it also gives us the opportunity to go Bigfooting in other Bigfoot hotspots with other Bigfooters. And so we had the pleasure and the honor to go Bigfooting with Squatchman down in Indiana.
Woohoo!
And next week we're heading to CryptidCon in Frankfort, Kentucky, and we're staying longer because, again, we're going to go squatching with Squatchman again in Indiana, because we caught some really awesome experiences and pictures out there with him last year. And then we're doing the Bigfoot Music Festival in Reamer, Minnesota the following weekend on the September 15th and 16th. And the next month in October, we've got the Big Minnesota Paracon in Minnoman, Minnesota. And then the next weekend, we are the headlining speakers at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Going to be an amazing event. So you should check it out at TennesseeBigfootConference.com.
Well, maybe we'll swing up there and say hi from Generation Truth and shake your hands in person for a little while. I know I'll probably run into you at a couple of the conferences next year because I'm planning on booking out through them, but it'd be a pleasure to meet you guys in person somewhere along the line.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Let us know. Let
Definitely.
Us know what conference you're going to come to. We'd love to hang out with you.
Definitely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. Of course, your host here, Christopher Houston, and we've had the wonderful pleasure of speaking to Jennifer Grover and Jen Cruz, which are the She Squatchers. You've got a lot of information on them here in the next week. You can tune into my Facebook page at Paranormal Truth and Reality. You can also look at my page, Christopher Houston, as well as you can look at the Twitter page. There'll be a lot of links of everything that they mentioned so that you can look them up. Next week's show will be another amazing show. Don't forget to tune in, of course, obviously, to find out what we find out about Bryan, Ohio, so that you can go to some of the ghost tours there. You've been listening to BBS. BBS is the largest radio station here, digital radio station, I should add, here in the United States of America. So keep them in the back of your head if you decide to do a podcast or otherwise. Go with the best. Go with BBS. I'm going to leave you with the same statements I leave you with every single week here on Paranormal Truth and Reality. As you're learning, the paranormal is a wonderfully large world filled full of amazing things from a lot of different people. And each person, as you learned today from talking to Jennifer and Jenna, or Jen, I apologize, Jennifer and Jen, there's always a unique view that you can figure out. There's always a different adventure, and there's always a learning process. So whether you're in it to hunt Bigfoot or whether you're in it to hunt anything else, whether it be ghosts or otherwise, keep it in the back of your mind. Always ask questions. Always do your research. Don't be afraid to ask those that are out there. And remember, we all have a learning curve. So it's going to take a while for you to learn everything, and you're probably still not going to learn everything at that point. We'll let you go. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.